NASCAR on North Sound 1380 ESPN Radio is brought to you in part by Camino Marine on Highway 532, 8 miles west of I-5.
The bank between 3 and 4 goes the 87 of Monty Boyd, spins it one way and brings it back out of the racetrack. I guess just to create a dust storm, Monty Boyd goes high in the banking. And he's back under power once again, and out of the dust and the mire comes the 54 of Billy Coates. And in goes our field. Look out, you can't see where you're going out of turn four. Gary Flamang comes out of it first in fine form.
And welcome back to North Sound Racing. Steve Mortland here along with Carla Heath, Galen Stewart. Greg Pyland joins us as we honor the memory of our really, really good friend, Dave Pyland. A gentleman on the phone right now with us who has done a lot to make not only the readers of the Everett Herald aware of Dave Pyland's situation, but a lot of people around the world really aware of what's going on, is John Sleeper. And John joins us on the phone tonight. How are you, John?
About average, Steve.
Yeah. Well, I want you to know, based on our conversation that we had yesterday, that I brought you in with some Robin Trower music, and you probably didn't know that, huh?
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
He made my day. I haven't heard him in so long.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get together, and we're going to have a Robin Trower love fest one of these days, huh?
I don't know. That was my college stuff.
And oh, was it?
Now I'm more into, you know, kind of improvisational jazz. But
yeah.
Yeah, well,
and you go to some pretty sweet blues shows, too.
Don't I really? Oh, God. he was a legend.
Yes, he was. Another legend we're talking about. You're very familiar. And say hi to Greg for me, would you?
Greg, my man. How are you, buddy?
I'm holding up. How are you, John?
I'm glad you are holding up. Yeah. I've been thinking a lot about all of you guys lately.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure, buddy.
John and I had several email conversations, for lack of a better term, throughout the course of John getting involved in the Dave Pyland story. And, John, I remember vividly making a comment about they really didn't prepare you for this kind of stuff at journalism school. But talk, if you would, about the impact that not only Dave made on your life, but the entire Pyland family made on your life, please.
Well, Dave let me have access and let me write the story in the first place because he believed that it could somehow help other people unfortunate enough to be in similar circumstances. And he was right. I wish I could tell you how many emails I've received, even the last couple of days, from people who knew Dave and who say that Dave and the rest of the Pyland family taught them so much about hope and courage and faith and love, and it's been an amazing ride. It's been wonderful to watch, and I've said this before. I have not seen this much love ever. It's a bittersweet feeling.
If you had anything that you could say to Dave right now. And this may be really unfair, and next time you see me, by all means, take a baseball bat up to the side of my head. But what would you tell him?
Well, I just hope he knows that how much, what an inspiration he was in the dignity and the courage that he faced his cancer and the love that he showed for everybody. I would tell him how wonderful I think his family is, too.
And if you had any advice for Greg, I have no problem with stating that Greg is going to follow in his dad's footsteps and do some pretty amazing things at the starting at the tender age of 21. But, man, don't you wish you were 21 again and had the career in the future this kid's going to have?
Absolutely. And there's no advice I can give him. Just have fun. If you have half as much fun as your father did doing this, then consider yourself lucky.
Yeah, I agree. John, you know, I wish I had about some really well-prepared questions because I've watched you work before, and your preparation is legendary. It's now that you still have a couple more stories, I think, to cover in regards to the Pylon family with, you know, the services that are coming up for them. And you know, one thing that, we do really need to get across, too, is the freedom that the Everett Herald allowed you to really, you know, get into this whole story. It was just very impressive. It was always cool to open up the paper and see that you were going to do another story about Super Dave, and I will also cherish your description of Lisa as the human hug machine.
Absolutely.
Talk about you know, what your impressions of what Lisa meant to you and what you got out of this.
Well, I mean, it wasn't, you mentioned that the Herald let me do this, but it wasn't really the Herald that let me do this. It was Dave and Lisa and the whole Pylon family who really were so cooperative and open to letting me do this. And the reason is, because of the original reason, is because they thought it could help other people. And mm-hmm. I think that says so much about the Pylon family. Every single one of them.
Yeah.
Every single, I mean, it's a remarkable family. And it's just been a joy being around them, even under these circumstances.
Yeah, they're an amazing group. And I remember one of your mailings that you sent out and wrote about the afternoon that you spent out with Dave and Lisa and the family when Dave was just spot on, and you know, how you had never experienced such love like you did that afternoon.
It was an amazing day, and I guess that's the time that I'm going to remember him most, is that, you know, as sick as he was, he was mentally, he was just on fire. He was so funny that day. He had us all laughing like crazy, and still I was kind of crying on the inside, because it was pretty obvious that he was struggling, but you didn't let us know it, and I just have such admiration for him.
You know, a lot of people that I talked to over the past week have all shared with us the first time they ever met Dave Pylon. You remember that?
I remember, yeah. I have a story about that.
Please share it.
Well, it was the first time that I was kind of exposed to Dave Pylon. It was one of the big races at Evergreen, and it might have been one of the truck races, because I remember network TV people were there. Benny Parsons was one of the people, if I'm correct. And there were also some big-time national NASCAR officials. And if you remember, and they were kind of making themselves at home.
Yeah, which they tend to do.
You know, kind of moving in. And somebody took Hollywood's chair.
Uh-oh.
And Dave was just livid. It was so cool. It ticked him off. He came running up from the announcer's booth to over to the media booth where we were, and he was looking around thinking, you know, and I had never met the guy before.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees the NASCAR guy sitting in Hollywood's chair. And he says, I'll take that chair, please. And the guy says, what? And he says, but, and Dave takes the chair. I think the guy was still in it. And Dave says, we don't take other people's chairs around here. And then he picks it up and left him. And I thought, it was about the coolest thing I ever saw. And I asked one of the writers, who is this guy? I mean, I think I want his autograph. And he says, that's Super Dave Pylon, and don't take his chair.
There you go. Well, John, thank you so much for coming on with us tonight.
My pleasure.
It means, well, you know what it means to me, and you know, just keep doing the outstanding work, and
thank you.
It's just been an honor and a pleasure to have you on.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it.
All right. John Sleeper, thank you, buddy, and I'll call you tomorrow.
And Greg, I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, John, and I just wanted to say one last thing to you. As part of the healing process that I know we're going through right now, such an amazing part of it is being able to open the paper and read your amazing gift of words about all my dad's accomplishments and the amazing part of his life. Just being able to read that with the family, it's been such a comfort for us. So
well,
I want to thank you.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. He wrote it. I just typed it.
Thank you very much.
Very well put. Thanks, John. We'll be back. Another tribute coming up to Dave, and we'll be back after this.
You know, one of my first recollections of Dave Pyland, obviously, was being at the Silvertips games and hearing that big booming voice rumble through that building. It's one thing to have the fans screaming and yelling and making noise. It's another thing to have the broadcaster not even have to scream and yell and make noise. Just get the voice out there and let's play hockey. And 1 minute left in the period. And, you know, being a fellow from Canada who is hockey immersed, it's a little bit different doing things down in the States as far as how they want to motivate people for the game and how they want people to respond to different things on the ice. And Dave Pyland was the perfect accessory to make that reality with the Silvertips, and also of course as a person, and obviously as a person, Dave was nothing but nice to all of us anytime. I don't remember Dave having a coarse word for anybody. You know, he was always very upfront and honest about what he wanted to get done as far as pronunciation or how he wanted things to sound, and he was always very meticulous that way. But I never heard him say a word in any kind of ill tone. And it, you know, when you have a guy like that up there that's just cool and calm and collected, and he's been there before and he's seen it before, and yeah, hockey might not have been the first thing he ever called in his life, but here's a guy that knew what to do and knew how to do it, and if he didn't know, he'd learn. And that's anytime you can get anybody that was willing to learn the way that Dave was, it's contagious. People want to become better people, and that's the bottom line with Dave Pyland, is that he inspired you to be better people, even after he was diagnosed with what eventually took him from us. He never wavered in his faith. He never wavered in how he conducted himself as a person. He never looked for the pity party. He never looked for anything of that nature. He always was very upfront. You know, when you ask him how he's doing, he'd tell you. He'd tell you how he was doing. If it was good, it was good. If it wasn't good, you wouldn't hear a whole lot of it wasn't good, because Dave was always glass half full. And it was marvelous spending 3 years up there, or down there, pardon me, in Everett, being a colleague of Dave's and helping make whatever Silvertips have down there. Part of it was a great deal to do with what Dave brought to the rink, and we'll miss him for that. Obviously, personally, I never spent a whole lot of time in Everett down there. I was more of an airlift employee, so to speak, but whenever I had a chance to run into Dave and his family in the corridor, it was always, "Hey Dave, how you doing?" And, you know, always very smiley, very handshake. See you next Friday, Dave. See you next Saturday, Dave. Are you staying overnight? Are you taken care of? And that Dave was always very comfortable making sure that you were comfortable. And you can't say enough about a fellow like that who just will look after you to the point of where you're like, all right, enough already. But Dave was very wonderful that way, and I will surely miss him, and I know that everyone else will miss him too. But again, thank you, Dave, for the joy that you brought into lives of many people in Everett. Thank you for being a respected colleague and someone that we can count on to do the job, and also hold us accountable for doing our jobs. And we appreciate your friendship, and I will miss you. And thanks again for everything.